Coach Melissa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning. A super day. Today is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Just 4 days away from the biggest event that this Northeast region has yet seen. The biggest. The grandest. It is going to be amazing. I can't wait for Saturday morning. Well, I can wait because guess what? There's something in waiting. You know, I was taught a long time ago to relish the moment, to relish the moment. So while yet we talk about wanting to do something tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or even 5 years from now, but we relish the moment. And so, yeah, we're excited about getting to Saturday, but I don't want to miss a single drop of today. Today is the first day for the rest of your life. Today is the first day for the rest of your life. Well, welcome to the show. We are going to get started. We have an awesome topic this morning, talking about conflict at work with our business partners, because that's what we call them, our business partners, those on our teams. They may even be your staff members. They could be the individuals that report to you. They report what they're working on. They report their progress. They report their development. That's what that means when we say somebody reports to us. It's not that we're this tyrant kind of a boss. No. They report to us, reporting on the progress and the success of the projects or the work that they're doing. And then our job as managers and leaders is to assess the gap. Did they do what they were supposed to do, and help them to get it done? But anyway, that's probably another show. But good morning and welcome. I see we have Miss Adele Foster here. Just want to let you know your mic is open so you can speak. Welcome. Hi, Adele. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful, Lalisa.
Wonderful. Well, what about this?
Excited?
Yes.
I saw your topic and I'm like, okay, this is going to be an interesting one. Because I know there is conflict on a job, but then how do you handle it? And most people don't know how to handle it.
Yes. Yes. You know, there is there's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on. And people do need to know how to handle conflict resolution. Well, let's look at, it's not new, certainly not new, but there are times in there are times and seasons where things seem to be more prevalent. Or it may come back in another way, another form, or it may increase. But certainly, this is a time where it is most important to get strategies on how to handle conflict. Now, here's one thing I noticed, Adele, and welcome to those of you in the chat room and you tuned in to the switchboard, and even those of you who will come back and listen to the archives, good morning and welcome to the show today. Well, you know we're overly excited, so please excuse my excitement. I'm super excited. Can't wait for Saturday. And so while this is yet only Tuesday, relishing the moment, but can't wait for Saturday, but we still need to deal with the issues of today. And one of the issues of today is this notion of being at odds with people, letting it go on, getting into odds with people, and even having it, sometimes it even escalates farther than just people not speaking to one another. I mean, there are people on the job, there are people who will actually, you know, begin to try to sabotage situations. I've had so many people to tell me that someone on their job, a coworker or a partner, tried to sabotage them, tried to break down some project that they were working on or trying to break down some program that they were trying to get built. And the saddest part is that the person who is causing, who starts the conflict, because, see, it takes two, but the person who caused the conflict, woe unto that person. Beware, because if you start conflicts and you're going to start them everywhere you go, then you're going to have a big problem. You're going to have a big problem. First of all, you're going to find yourself, you're definitely not going to find yourself very successful in life. Or you may find yourself successful for a while, but you'll reach a peak. You'll reach a plateau. You'll reach a point where you cannot go any higher until you go back and you resolve every conflict that you ever started. And then there are some that, because of their attitude about starting conflict. You know, Adele, there are actually people who look forward to starting conflicts.
Well, Lisa, I find those people on the job who look forward to starting conflict or even creating conflict are insecure with themselves. You know, it's something internally that they're dealing with and they don't know how to deal with it. I'll be honest with you, I've worked with someone just like that. And every day was a battle to me. Every day. Because I walked in knowing from day to day what she was going to throw at me. You know? Mm-hmm. And I asked myself what was going on. You know, and I didn't realize till later, after I got let go off of the job, that she was intimidated by my knowledge. Today, I will tell you that conflict is even more prevalent because people fear losing their job. So if I can get rid of one person, and, you know, this is a mindset, but if I can get rid of one person, then it saves my job. But that may not necessarily be the case.
Okay. All right. And that's so true. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And said it's something to think about because it's funny because when I saw that this was your topic today, myself and two other people had gotten together and did a seminar on this, of the fact that it's more prevalent with women than it is with men, but the fact that if we feel intimidated or inferior or, you know, we're in charge, So we want to make it miserable for the person that we're in charge of. And then sometimes the person, you know, it's like, why? Why can't we, you know, my mindset is, why can't we all get along? Why can't we learn from each other? You might be my boss, but I can learn from you just like you can learn from me. You know, so it really is something to think about. And the way the economy is today, have to ask yourself, do you really want someone to lose their job because you feel inferior towards them? Do you need to go in every day and create habit? And what are you gaining from it? So I'm just throwing those questions out there for you to think about. And then how do you handle it? That becomes another question. How do you handle someone who is at odds with you?
Well, Adele, powerful questions as always. I know it's not down in black and white that you're the co-host of the Coach Lalisa Show on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays, because, you know, we have Mr. Coach Percy on Wednesdays. Every Wednesday he does the show. But let me tell you, you're the unofficial official co-host. But you just add so much to the show. I mean, I don't get it. I can, you know, people are emailing me or calling me or making Facebook posts about great show, you know, loved Adele's comments and loved her input and her insight. And I just want to let people know that who they're listening to, because, you know, other people have called in over the times that we've been here. So you are listening to Ms. Adele J. Foster, awesome, awesome businesswoman, motivational speaker, author, leader, mentor, success coach, you name it, she's got it going on. And here's the thing, people, you know, she has many gifts and talents. So that's what I want people to know, because some people, you know, they buy into the old myth of jack of all trades and, you know, master of none. But they don't understand that when they need to read the part of that your favorite book that says that he gives you according to your several abilities. And if he sees that ability in you because you're showing it, guess what? He's going to give you power to get it done. And also, gifts and talents, he gives according to how he sees fit. And those that use what they are given will be given more. So in other words, he gives you two, you use two, you double that, you come back with four, he gives you eight, you use the eight, you double it, you got 16, you come back to him, he'll give you 32. That's how it works. So anyway, that's a whole nother teaching. But hey, it's right there.
It's
this
funny
a teaching
you
moment.
Said that, Lalisa, because of the fact that he does give you gifts. And, you know,
he does.
Proverbs, it says your gifts make room for you.
There
and
you
so
go.
My question to everybody that's listening right now, what are you doing with your gifts? And I will tell
you. Okay, we got to do the show. We got to do that show.
We
got to do a show on what are you doing with
your
gifts? Let's do that Thursday.
Get back into that conflict resolution.
let's do you and your gifts on Thursday, because we need that. We need to let people know all week for the rest of 2 days. That's what we're doing on Thursday morning. You heard it right here on the Coach Lalisa Show. It's going down, and it's soon about to become the Coach Lalisa and Coach Adele Show. Listen, for a season, listen. I read the book that Dr. Yala Ranzan read, and she said that sometimes there's a season when relationships are strong as if you all were just, you know, born together. Because it's a season that God wants something miraculous to happen. And it's miraculous when the Adele J. Foster and the Lalisa Williams, J. Williams, how come we have the same initial? That is what I'm talking about. But anyway, now... Here's a teaching moment about conflict. Some people are in conflict this very second. Some are even in conflict with just the previous 5 minutes of conversation that I've just been discussing. Some people get in conflict not only with others, but within themselves. Well, why didn't I get that? Why didn't they make me the co-host? I've been there, done that. Don't even try to act like it never happened to you. Yes, it happens. That's how conflict sets up. I hope people know that. It sets up when you're sitting at work and she got the promotion and you didn't, but you never dealt with it. You went home and whatever, because I'm going to tell you in a minute, and I'm going to prove this to you. It came from she got the husband, I didn't. She had the children, I never had one. She got the house, I didn't. She got the long, pretty hair, I didn't. She got this, and that. Now, if we were men, I'd be saying he, but you all know that with God, it don't matter. He, she, he's talking to both of us at the same time. But conflict, according to him, who made you, okay, so like your car, I'm going to take my car and I'm going to listen to the Nissan man before I listen to the Ford man tell me about my Nissan. So the one who made you says that the conflict comes from our own selfish desires. That's where it starts. When the kid at school gets beat up, it starts from the kid that wanted something that the kid who got beat up had or had access to. Sometimes, I know one girl, they slashed her face, not because she had so many material things, but the girl had talent. You all know her, Stacey Ladisaw, the young girl who sang the song years ago. I can't think of the name right now, but she was about 13 singing a song that only a woman should have known about. You remember that? If you don't, look her up on the internet. Can't think of the song, He's My Heaven or He's My Angel or something. She was too young to know what a man being her angel was all about other than her daddy. But here was at the time, she didn't have a whole lot of money, but she had fame. And for some people, fame is power. So because we don't want, see, some people will never get to the heart of conflict resolution in their own lives because they don't want to accept the truth. The word is, it says the truth is what's going to set you free, not a bunch of money, not who your friends are in your network, not where you could go run and hide. No, no, no. It is the truth of the matter. And so at the heart of this conflict is that we have to deal with what was really going on in me, first and foremost. Now, conflict, now, that's not the only, that's how it starts, but it gets out of hand. Sometimes let's look at in the workplace again. My own selfish desires. I wanted the office. I knew one lady had some folk at work in conflict because she wanted the office by the window. But she got a cubicle that had, you know, partitions where everybody could hear you. I remember this used to happen consistently not all the time, but it happened enough. Where I seen something like this, how it could work, we were at Essex County College where I used to work there. Some offices were along the perimeter, and they all had ceilings. So you could be holding the conversation, and no one could hear you. So you could do all your little personal stuff and get away with it. But then the other people, their offices, you know, Adele, you've been there. The offices are in the center where there were no ceilings. You can't do a whole lot of talking in there. Because everybody, so you got to whisper all day unless you're talking.
That's right.
So these are kinds of things. But now, it's no conflict. I have no conflict, no beef with you, long as I'm okay with my cubicle.
But I think, Lisa, I hear what you're saying, and I think conflict resolution comes from the fact that most people who create the conflict don't really know themselves. And one of the ways to resolve it is to start learning who you are. You know, you're talking about, you know, the person with the cubicle who really wanted an office. Well, maybe because internally they were saying something to themselves that they didn't realize they got that cubicle instead of that office because they didn't know how to project or how to speak up and say what they wanted. And yet, and it's always happened, you know, we take our internal feelings out on everybody else, and then conflict starts because nobody knows our internal feelings. And what I love to say is that nobody knows how to play the part because they didn't audition for it. So why do you get upset with somebody and expect them to answer the way you expect them to answer when they never even knew the part they were supposed to play? And
you know, look
stuff.
Here, we mm-hmm. go ahead. And I'll,
no, you know.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
But, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we get upset. We start taking things out on other people. And it really, for the other person that you're taking it out on, that you're causing the conflict with, they're frustrated. They're not understanding even why you're acting the way that you're acting. But you're acting the way that you're acting because you don't know how to deal with your internal stuff that's going on inside of you.
Sure. Absolutely. And conflict resolution, see, here, you know, we had some discussion here in the chat room, and yes, Miss Distributor from Louisiana, welcome. She is saying that, you know, it's funny. She says, yeah, your so-called buddy flipping burgers at Mickey D's will not be happy that you are successful in your own business. And she's also advising people that sometimes business partners can also, you know, be jealous of you or whatever. Now, and start conflict. Again, people's selfish desires, like you said, Adele, people not dealing with what's really going on in them. Because who wants to really accept? Who wants to think about it? If most conflict, now this is what the great book says. I'm not making this up. People can go read it for themselves if you have it. If the one who made you said this is where it comes from, our own selfish desires. But here's the thing. We don't want to look at that. That's why, boy, we thought child molestation was a dirty secret or a domestic violence against, you know, these husbands who seem so well received and loved in the community and in their churches and businesses, but they go home and beat their innocent wives. We thought that was a dirty secret. Here's another dirty secret and dark secret is that people don't want to deal with our own selfish desires. We don't want to put that out on Front Street. But here's the thing. People who study conflict resolution, and like you said, you've taught the class, I do have to deal with it because I deal with business as I'm teaching the classes, as I'm, you know, mentoring students, as I'm working with people, as I'm dealing with human resources, which happens to be my major under my MBA program. That's the area I chose to focus on versus finance or marketing or economics. I chose to focus on HR, so we learned and talked about it. And then I have a sister who specializes in conflict resolution. She has a certificate in it, and she does arbitration and all that stuff for big companies. So I talk to her almost every day about resolving conflicts, talk about it on a personal level. People who study this know that, number one, there is a solution to it, but are we willing to apply it? Same thing at school. Many children get involved in conflict resolution. You have principals. I never forget a woman was teaching once, and she said how you have superintendents who get into conflict with their school administrators, whatever that next level is. Then that person gets in conflict with the principal. Then the principal has no choice but to get into conflict with the teacher. And then who do you think the teacher is going to get into conflict with? The students. Same thing in the household.
It trickles down.
Yeah, mom and dad are in conflict with each other. Well, guess what? The children are going to be in conflict. And who's teaching conflict strategy resolution? And then how about this? I know companies who have a seminar on it, but yet the employees are not forced to practice it on a day-to-day basis. Many companies offer all kinds of training, but there's absolutely zero follow-up to see if people are applying what they were taught and trained how to do.
And there's some
in the church.
Won't even do it.
Yes. Much conflict in the church. Much conflict. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Talking about the dirty little secret that nobody wants to deal with. And then there's the internal conflict that we can't deal with. But today we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with solutions because I know I was that person that could be in conflict with others, you know, because of my lack of knowledge. The people perish for the lack of knowledge because I didn't know how. So what did I do? I didn't do anything about it to help the situation, which usually made it worse because I didn't know how to deal with it. So we're going to talk today about how to handle that supervisor that you say can't stand you, doesn't like you. It's always coming. The ladies I deal with in the halfway house, they have a favorite term. They say, they're coming for me. That person that doesn't like them, that's the term. That person is coming for you, coming to gnaw at you, coming to make your day worse. Everything they say is it's upsetting. They say, it seems that they say things on purpose. It's like they purposely are trying to ruin your day. Now, here's the key word there, trying to ruin your day. But a lot of people let the trying go to, they ruin, like at the end of the day when they go and post on their little sites, they'll say, oh, I had a horrible day. And they're thinking in their mind of because of what someone did. The person was trying to ruin your day, but did you let it ruin your day? That's a whole other topic. So you taught this, Adele. What are some of the signs that a person can look for so that they can recognize that, okay, wait a minute, this is going to be a conflictual situation. Let me go build up my conflict resolution skills.
You know, one of the signs, Felicia, is someone who approaches you in an argumentative way. You don't have to argue with them. Someone who gets on the defensive with you is another sign. Something is about to happen. So, you know, and all of us have an instinct. We have an internal instinct to let us know something is about to happen. So when you know internally, when you immediately feel that something is about to happen that's going to create conflict, you can immediately back yourself away from it. Well, can you walk out the room on your boss? Absolutely not. But you can always say take a negative and turn it into a positive. You know, the worst thing that you can do to anyone is give them something positive back, especially when they throw something negative at you. It stops the conflict immediately because now they don't know how to respond. Compliment them. Oh, what you just said was absolutely right. That was a great thought. They don't know how to respond to that because they're expecting you to rebuttal whatever they said because they're looking for the conflict. But if you give them something back, that's going to take them off. Because we all have, what I say, internal conversations with ourselves. So even that person who's coming at you wanting to start conflict already has an internal conversation of how this is going to go. You throw them off guard by not giving them exactly what they think is going to happen. So you don't have to come back at them. You don't have to be back on a defensive with them. You come back with them with something positive. Something that's going to throw them off guard. Now it throws the whole conversation off guard because they weren't expecting it. Just something to think about, LaLisha. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, dear. You got to be hungry. I can't help but to bring it back to Mr. Les Brown. He says, you got to be hungry. People, you got to be hungry to be a conflict resolver. You got to want that. It's not going to just drop on your head, okay, like the snowflakes or the rain. It has to be something you have to reach for. You have to reach up and grab. You have to tell yourself, wake up in the morning with your whole list of other stuff that you'd have told yourself. I am successful. I am a millionaire. I'm actually a multimillionaire. I can actually walk on water. Just watch me. And so you're telling yourself all of these affirmations. I am faithful. I am this. I am that. Now you can add one more. I am a conflict resolver. When I walk in the situation, I'm not looking for a conflict resolution. I am the resolution. I bring it with me. So what y'all arguing about? Let's get it settled right here and now. We can learn from many of the other business gurus who teach the whole win-win principle. Win-win. See, conflict resolution is not conflict resolution. If you, Adele, got what you wanted, but I still don't have nothing. No, no, no. We're not about to resolve nothing. It's going to be for a moment we may be quiet, but it's going to come back up. Because that's what resolution is that? You got what you wanted, so that's a win-lose. You win, I lost. Okay, well, we'll take both of your stuff away. You've got the kids, and they're fighting over the toy, so take the toy from you, I take it from you. That's not a conflict resolution, not a favorable one, because neither one of you got what you wanted. But we're here at the Coach to the Lisa show and any programs that I'm a part of, we're about teaching people this higher level of conflict resolution, which is where people, there's a win-win. You get what you want, and I get what I want. And one of the ways to do that is that you have to go through this process. Just like decision-making is a process. You know, I didn't learn that until I got into, you know, my third-level business class. I never knew growing up that decision-making was a process. It was steps. I was just going through life making decisions. Okay, he's cute, boom, bam. Next thing you know, you've already slept with the dude. You ain't sat down and added up no cost of nothing. You haven't looked at any alternatives. You haven't decided, you know, no, there was no process to that decision making. You got paid, you went out, and you just spent all your money. You know, but again, conflict resolution is a process. It's some steps to get to where we both, it's a win-win. Therefore, the conflict is definitely resolved, and it will not raise its ugly head again, because once you go through about 8 or 9 steps to get somewhere, more than likely, you're going to have grown from that. That's why a lot of times, even God will leave people in their mess so long, or their challenge, or their situation. I've had God leave me on jobs that I know he understood my pain, but he said, I'm not going to take you out. He could too. I can move you any day I want. I can move you out from under that tyrantal boss or supervisor at any given moment, but I'm not until you learn the lesson. And that's how to deal with people. That's how to resolve. You know, that's a key lesson right there, how to resolve conflicts and how to deal with people, because you can't go high without that. You won't, because at every higher level, there's going to be more people to deal with. You got to be able to solve this conflict. So, first of all, step one is, let me look at my own selfish desire. Let me look at why I feel that the boss, you know, is picking on me. Now, the boss could legitimately just have picked you out of a crowd. However, there are some people who would say, you know, if something... you know, something else. Now, in some cases, Adele, I've seen, in my case, I ain't going to say something because, you know what, I can just talk about me. I've got enough of my own experiences with this because I've been fired from jobs and I have quit. I've been fired from plenty and I have quit plenty. So I got enough of my own experiences. And I have enough jobs that I was on for a while and didn't get promoted. Here's the thing. What I did learn is that some bosses, no matter how much of a tyrant they are, okay, they want you to do something. And even if they're nice, though, it doesn't matter, but when you don't do what that boss wanted you to do, that's going to be a problem. And God's going to let it be a problem, because God said there are people who have rule over you and you are to obey them. So just to make it clear, he's going to let it be a problem. So don't go blaming your supervisor. But it took me like 25 working years to accept that and to understand it. And so that's just conflict if you got manager or supervisor. You know, your job is not to be telling the supervisor what to do, though I know many people feel they can. Oh, I know more than my supervisor. People love to say that. They love it, love it. That's their favorite word. I know more than my supervisor.
You know
what?
You know more than
you. Go ahead, Jessica. I'm sorry.
No, you can know more than your supervisor, but you know it's called humility. Humble thyself. Learn how to humble yourself. You know, the quiet person, the other person doesn't know what the quiet person is thinking. So even if you know more, you don't have to demonstrate that you know more. It shows in your work. You know, my granddaddy used to sing a song, may the works are done, speak for me. So you don't have to say anything. Just because you know more than your supervisor, it will show in your work. And be honest with you, let your supervisor think that they know more. You know what you know, and no one can take that away from you. So it doesn't mean that you have to boast or brag that, oh, I know more than my supervisor. You cut down
conflict. See, that brings, that's what I'm, now we're talking, that's at the heart of some of our conflicts. Conflict resolution, you're so, that is so true. People humble ourselves, but we're afraid that I'm not going to get the position that I deserve. They're not going to recognize me for something that I did. I'm not going to get the acknowledgement that I should because I'm the one who suggested that. I'm the one who created that. I'm the one. And what it can do is shut people down. Oh, well, since I won't get acknowledged anyway, and since my name won't get called anyway, I won't get the promotion anyway, I'll just say nothing. Now, that's very dangerous because God said, you best use every gift and talent I gave you because you're going to have to make an accounting for why you didn't later. So if I was you, I wouldn't take that position that I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to get credit for it. You see, that was something my mother taught me a long time ago. She said she had a sign at work. And, I mean, some of you may have seen this sign. It said, the sign on her desk at work said, we would get a lot more done around here if we weren't worried about who got the credit for it. She worked for the IRS. She was the manager there. And on her wall, somewhere in her cubicle or whatever, she had that on the wall. We would get a lot more done around here if we weren't worried about who gets the credit. Now, she didn't coin it, and I'm not quite sure who coined that phrase, but it is still true everywhere, not just at work, but with our partners, at home, and definitely in our houses of worship. And that's across the board. That no one religious group could say or spiritual group could say, well, we got the 411 on that. No, you don't. Because it's in the heart of man to have a selfish desire and want their name on something. Now, nothing wrong with that. We ought to get, you see, that's how people win Pulitzer Prizes. That's how people win the Tony Awards and the Academy Awards and anything else. We want, that's okay, that you will get acknowledged for things. But understand who makes that happen. Their promotions don't come from the north, south, east, and the west, but they come from above. So, in other words, sometimes we didn't get, and we don't want to face it, but sometimes we didn't get because God don't want us to have. And it's not that he doesn't want us to have as if to say, I'm going to deprive you. He doesn't want us to have because we're not ready to have. We're not ready to really be humble, as Adele said. We're not ready to be humble. We have to, that's a lot of times why he won't give us, because we won't be humble. We won't show forth his glory once he gives it to us. We will try to take credit for it. But resolving conflict, you can do it, number one, by looking at what's in your own heart, your own desire, and you can do it by wanting. Make yourself a resolving conflict. I remember once on the job, I was having conflicts with a coworker. He would say things that would very much agitate me. He treated me as if I didn't know anything, like I was just this little, you know, dumb girl from the ghettos of Cincinnati, which I was. But I didn't try to carry myself that way. So here I am trying to carry myself in this higher way. And, you know, he was treated, that's the way I'm just telling y'all what was in my own head. Not saying he saw me like that, but that's what I'm thinking because of the way. See, a lot of times the way people are treating us are our own perception of our. We don't really think we're nothing. I said it. I was just this little dumb girl from the ghettos of Cincinnati. He didn't know anything about my background. When he met me, I already had 2 degrees. So it's, he's not necessarily he saw that, but that was how I projected. So guess what? He would say something, I'd say something back. He'd say something snappy, I'd snap back. Until I realized that this ain't good. This is not good. We had a small office. We were working for a Fortune 500 company. And I said, this isn't right. This can't be. It's just this is not going to work. And because what would happen was I was began to feel guilty about the things I was letting come out my mouth. And so, and even my thoughts. And so I said, this doesn't feel right. That, you know, that you feel that conviction. So I said, well, let me go to one of my sources who was a great communicator. And you know, again, my sister who practices this for a living. So I said, you know, I told her what was happening. And I told her how it was, we were like enemies, me and this person. And she said, you know, go in, sit down, talk to the person when there's no one around, and, you know, just tell him how you feel, that you feel this and this and that when he says this. And then tell him a little bit about you. You know, sometimes that conflict comes because they don't really know about us and we don't really know about them. You know, go tell them that you're whatever, you know. I do this, I do that, I play tennis, whatever. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not telling you what to say. But in other words, build a relationship. People who are in a good relationship don't usually conflict. I don't know. Adele, you may, you know.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right about that. Because when you're in a good relationship, there can be a conflict. Why? Because there's an open communication. You know, we're openly communicating with one another. So we openly understand one another. We understand one another to the place that if we're having a bad day, we understand that this person is having a bad day because we have open communication, and so there's understanding there. And I think that's, Lalisa, what's missing, that a lot of people don't understand one another. And so that also causes conflict. And we because we don't understand one another, we don't know how to resolve the conflict. But your sister gave you the best advice there was, you know, by saying, you know, identify a safe place so that you can talk to that person. And just sit there and you, what you did was you created a connection by saying with that, sharing with that person, this is who Lalisa is. Because I'm sure as soon as you shared who Lalisa was, he shared who he was. And so what
he
happened?
Did.
Yeah, there became some synergy there.
We started laughing. He was like, well, you know, I grew up in this kind of household on this part of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And this and this. And it was like, wow, okay, so no wonder, you know, then we kind of laughed about it. And then after that, you know, we became like best friends at work, you know. And when I remember when I had to, it was on my job at Continental. Remember, I had to fly to Hawaii. He booked me first class the whole way because I was an implant into the company. He was one of those people that was raised up from like ticket agent, and now because we were all recruiters by this time, and I didn't know ticketing, so I couldn't book myself on anything without calling on the phone. But because they were had been ticket agents, they could get online and book you this and that and put you in whatever seat. And I always thought that was fascinating. And that's another thing. People, let people know how you do admire them. So I admired him for that. And so then he felt, you see, and we're afraid to do that. But go ahead, Adele.
You know, Lalisa, that, you know, you connected. You had a connection. He, one of the things that I tell people, don't be afraid to share with others who you are. Tell them your business. I know we get this attitude, I don't want you to know my business. I say, you don't have any business. Your business is somebody else's business. And you'd be surprised the moment you open up and share with someone something that's close to your heart, they show you their heart as well. And conflict is all of a sudden dissolved. It's no longer there. And that's
exactly
what you experienced, Lisa. He was willing to help you. He was willing to go the whole nine yards after one conversation of this is who Lalisa is. And, you know, I want to say to your listening audience, and that if ever you find yourself in a conflict, do that. Open yourself up. Don't be afraid to open yourself up and share who you are. Watch what happens back to you.
watch what happens, and call someone. Now, here's some quick strategies that you could use, some that I've used, and Adele, she may have others that she used. One is to try to understand, again, the person's situation. Try to understand. Try, like Adele's just saying, try to get some insight into what this person is about. A lot of times, the conflict from that person towards you is about a personal war that they have going on within them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it's already been mentioned here, Adele has stated it, that you also get to know you. Know what you like. Know what you don't like. Know what's important about you. Sharpen your effectiveness. Maybe there is something that, maybe there is some, you know, the conflict, maybe it's coming about because God wants you to see there's something about you that needs changing. And maybe he's just allowing the conflict to edge you enough to make that change that's going to take you to a whole new dimension. And then another thing to try to do is to realize that we need to, you know, communication, they used to say, an understanding is the best thing in the world. Try to understand. Let's sit down and let's talk in a mutual place where no one's around, because sometimes when there's an audience, there are other people who agitate on because they, you know, it's just like people who might watch soap operas or who watch a lot of drama shows. A lot of people like drama. They like to watch drama. Mm-hmm. So you and her or you and him or he and her coming back and forth to work, creating this drama, you've created a live TV show for people, so to speak. People are sitting around talking on the lunch breaks in the place. Girl, did you see what she did today? Girl, did you hear what he did today? You gave them a free movie. You could have went and did Color Girls and Why They, whatever. You could have went and did your own movie.
And got paid for it.
You wrote your own novel. Been rich enough to leave that job. Just basically, you done gave people a novel and they didn't even pay. I used to tell my nephew about that when my nephew stayed with me for 1 year when he was in the sixth grade. And he would be at school and he would want to get into these brawls with these boys and what have you. And I told them, I said, they would stand around and egg them on because they know they would love to see him act a fool. I said, but baby, at least the boxers are getting paid. You standing there doing that, you ain't got nothing but it's suspended from school. These people have got a free show off of you. They played you. You know? And he began to think about that. But he was like, well, what am I going to do, Aunt Lisa? This person keeps coming for me, so to speak. I said, well, honey, you know how smart you are, right? I said, ask him to, my nephew was very smart. I said, ask him to spell, I came up with some big word, the biggest word here I could think of. I said, ask the kid to spell that word. I said, that'll shut him down, and send him away. Because people, so a lot of times, some people who bully and start conflict, sometimes, not always, they are covering up some of their own, again, some inefficiency. Or anyway, so that's all I have to say on the subject of conflict resolution. You know, get to know yourself, get to understand the other person, try to be mutually respectful, but you can't do that if you don't believe it can happen. So first you got to get your belief before you leave the house. Believe that the resolution can happen between you and that person, whether it's a partner, business partners, it's the same concept. It's no different. Spouses, family members. First, get a picture in your mind, you know, the way we visualize. Visualize yourself and the person not in conflict, unless the conflict is serving you a purpose. Some people, they like the conflict because then it allows them to do something else that they really want, which goes back to my first comments about that selfish desire. Something that I want. So I actually want the conflict to go on because that means now I don't really have to do all my job anyway because now I got reason to or whatever. I'm not really happy anyway that I even have this particular job, and the fact that you were bringing about conflict on me is just fitting right into the mold. So first, you have to say, how do I want to live? How do I want to live? Do I want to live at peace? Do I want to live you know, over the top? Do I want to live superly, you know, in all walk in all abundance? You know, what is it that I want? And if you want this, you can absolutely have it. You can absolutely have it. You can be, again, you can be the person that when conflicts come your way, you, and again, if it's your supervisor, and I know people say, well, they're too busy, they never have time to talk to me. Well, wait around. Stay late. Come early. Do what it takes. Come on the weekend. Come on Sunday. Don't make an excuse and say, well, they're always busy. They're never around. But the only time you ever noticed was between 9 and 5. Well, stay after 5. Well, I got to get home because there's traffic, because this, and that. No, that's an excuse. Stay late. Come early. Well, I can't come early because I got the kids and I got this and that. That's the day you're going to call on your friend or your parents or somebody and say, I'm going to bring the kids over a little bit early. Would you drop them off to school for me this day? Because you've got to solve that issue. When you become a conflict resolver, you've got to resolve the issue. So this is how you resolve it. You got to sit down and you got to talk with the person. And you got to talk to them very humbly. You can't go in there all upset and angry, because you're going to put them on defense, which isn't going to help anything. So you got to go in there, relax, and talk about it. So anyway, Adele, do you have any more comments on the issue of conflict resolution?
I think you covered it all. I was going to say one thing, just whenever you're going to resolve it, remember to stay calm and be patient and respect the other person, even though they may say something that might, you know, hurt the nerves or what have you. Because the calmer you are, the calmer they will become. And you don't have to be on the defense. Now you're creating that understanding, that bond between the two of you that now is dissolving that conflict. And now you're coming up with a resolution. Build an agreement that will work for the two of you, that you have a working relationship as opposed to having animosity.
Exactly. And, you know, there is a truth to the matter that, sure, there's going to be, guess what, people, you're going to have conflicts. Just know that. They're not magic. You're not going to wave a wand and they go away. As long as people are people and they have desires, selfish or not. Just sometimes our desires are just different. That's going to bring about conflict. There doesn't have to even be a selfish desire. But if it's a desire, it's yours. That means it's your self-desire. But, yeah, so, you know, but it's not, it's persons, and then there's problems, people and problems. Problems can sometimes be separated from the people. You know how we do our children. We still love our kids, though they're always causing problems. So what have we done? We just separated the person from the problem. Same thing in marriages. Love our husbands and our wives. But guess what? Boy, you is a problem child. But so we've separated the person from the problem. And we can do this at work. You can separate your boss and your coworker or your partner from the problem. And then deal, and so you tell the person, come on, y'all, let's deal with this problem, okay? Separate it. You're the person, but here's the problem. Let's work on this together. You know, we're kind of partnering and fixing this problem because it is to be resolved. It can be resolved. Another thing that we can always use, definitely we've got to speak our piece. We've got to say we can't just avoid it and say let it be, let it go. No, because God, let me let you know, he wants you to resolve problems. He wants you to be a conflict resolver. He told us to be peacemakers, okay? So don't try to shrink away from your responsibility. It's your responsibility to go into that office, that business, that place of work, wherever it is, wherever the conflict is. It is your responsibility. And even if you didn't read it in our favorite book, you heard it here on the Coach and Melissa Show. That's my job as a coach, is to coach you to success, and part of success as a person is that you're able to resolve conflicts. And I know for me, I remember I got to a crucial point in my life where I had to do it. You know, my marriage was on the line. I had to learn how to do it because I wanted my marriage to work. And even when I didn't want to be a conflict, I didn't necessarily grow up and say, oh, I want to resolve conflicts, unlike my sister who wanted that kind of life. Not me. I had to do it. I was forced into it. But I'm glad because I learned a lot. Same thing, you know, on certain. But it can, having the strategies to resolve conflicts to really help you. And now I can see why God forced me. Now that I'm a coach, now I can see why I had to be forced into becoming good at conflict, solving conflicts, is because how am I going to coach other people if I don't understand and haven't really felt it, experienced conflict, and then experienced putting some tools and strategies into place and getting the positive result. You see, I had to live it. And that's what most of us, the work that we're doing, the work that we're in, it's because we've lived it. We've been down that road. And so resolving conflict. Now, understand, there's so much to this. You cannot, this show, yes, we made it, you aware of some things. We made you aware that any conflict can be resolved and all conflicts can be resolved. We made you aware that there's such a thing as a win-win, both people getting what they want. But we can't do everything in a less than an hour show. It doesn't work like that. So this is like the tip of the iceberg. Now what you are to do is to continue digging. As my good friend, I love, she said, now you are to go do your research. That's what Dr. Gwendolyn Goseby Grant says. Go research. Go look up every article you can find. That's your assignment. Go to the internet. Go to the library. Go wherever you need to go. Go to Barnes & Noble's. Go to any bookstore and just sit there. Look up every book on conflict resolution. Do your research. Read. You don't have to take my word for it. Go research. Research if these strategies are good, if they work, if they have worked. Go do your research, okay? Because we gave out a lot. Yes, I understand that. But we didn't even touch, we just touched the tip of the iceberg here. There's so much more. And then you have to actually walk it out. Now, if you have a time today, I resolve conflicts all day, all day. When you, especially in this day and age, because people are going through a lot, especially at work. People are overworked. They're stressed. They're like an overstretched rubber band waiting to pop. You say one little thing, but just like you can say one little thing to make the rubber band pop, you can also say one little thing that'll hold it all together. And sometimes that one little thing is, good morning, how are you? Or if they say good morning to you and they ask, how are you? Instead of just saying, fine, I like to add this one. And thanks for asking. You'd be surprised how that can resolve issues just by saying, thanks for asking. Or good morning, how are you? Nice dress. Love that tie. Now, if you don't love the tie, don't say it. But buying something you do love, you might love the shoes. If you don't love the shoe, maybe you love the shine on the shoe. I don't know. Find something. But anyway, thank you for tuning in. We've come to the end of the show. Thank you. I see we have a few phone lines that I haven't seen. Oh, there's a caller with the hair up. I can't believe I missed that. I don't know how I did that. 973, you're on the air. Welcome to the Coach Louisa Show.
Hello?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm
doing wonderful. Loud and clear.
Okay. Hey, this is Lloyd Terrell Jr. I was calling to listen to your show. You helped me out a lot.
Awesome.
I learned a lot about conflict resolution today.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And if you didn't get to hear the whole show, Mr. Lloyd, you can definitely go back and listen to the archives. Miss Adele Foster gave out some powerful examples of conflict resolution. And so we thank you so much. And I'm sorry I didn't see your hand up. I was looking at another screen. But thank you so much for calling in. And we hope that you continue listening to the show that is willing and able to get you over the top. Thank you.
Well,
again.
Thank you so much. I feel really blessed by being able to turn in. It was a wonderful show. I wish you all continued luck. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, and God bless you. Okay, that was a caller calling in. I was just going to acknowledge we had another caller on the line from Texas. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Looks like it's your first time tuning in. Welcome to those who stay with us throughout the chat room. Welcome, and just to let everybody know, PD of Los Angeles, of Louisiana, is a man. I wanted to make that correction because I couldn't tell, so I just assumed that it was a female. So, you never know. Well, it's okay to be corrected because guess what? Conflict resolution is our game. So thank you all. We'll see you back here tomorrow, Wednesday, for Midweek Motivation with Versie Walker. Thanks again to my awesome, awesome co-host, Mrs. Del Foster. We're leading up. The momentum is building and building and building for Saturday. People, I know you want to get there. I know you want to get there because you want to meet this woman in person. Everybody, have a blessed and awesome, awesome day.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up because, in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.